السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم اور مہاجرین اور انصار میں سے سب
After reciting the تشہد, توز and سورہ الفاتحہ, حضرت امیر المؤمنین اید الدال ابن سل عزیز recited verse 100 of سورہ التوبہ and then stated, And as for them foremost among the believers, the first of the emigrants and the helpers and those who followed them in the best possible manner, Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with him. And he has prepared for them gardens beneath which flow rivers. They will abide therein forever. That is the supreme triumph. In this verse, the Sahaba, i.e. the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have been mentioned. Those who took the lead, those whose spiritual rank is the highest amongst all, those who have left all others behind in respect of their standards of faith and their acting in accordance with the teachings of Allah the Exalted. These are the people who were the first ones to believe and who left their examples as role models for others who were to come after them, so that those others may follow their role models. Thus, here in this verse, Allah the Exalted has nominated the companions to be the role models for those who are to come later, and he has declared that he is pleased with their standards of faith and the actions which they used to perform. They too held attaining the pleasure of Allah the Exalted to be the prime objective of their lives. They remained among the grateful servants of Allah the Exalted under all circumstances. Thus, Allah the Exalted states that those who will continue to follow those examples by adhering to faith, sincerity, loyalty, and righteous deeds, such people will continue to receive the favors of Allah. Allah the Almighty, informing the Holy Prophet ﷺ of the high status of the companions, declared their obedience to be a source of attaining guidance. Hence, it is stated in a hadith that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ say, I asked Allah the Exalted regarding a disagreement among my companions, upon which Allah the Exalted revealed to me that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the status of your companions, in my view, is like that of the stars in the sky. Some are brighter than others, but light is intrinsic in all of them. Thus, whosoever follows any of your companions, I will consider him to be on the right path. He will be guided in the eyes of Allah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu also said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, My companions are like stars. Whomsoever among them you will follow, you will attain guidance. Thus, this is the status which Allah the Exalted has accorded to the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Each one of them is a guiding light for us. Relating about the status and the rank of the companions and about Allah the Exalted being pleased with them and them being pleased with Allah, the promised Messiah ﷺ said, The honorable companions demonstrated such truthfulness in the cause of Allah the Exalted and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that heard the voice of the verse radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. This is a lofty status which the companions acquired. This means that Allah was pleased with them and they were pleased with Him. The beauty and excellences of this status cannot be expressed in words. Words cannot encompass the beauty and excellences that are contained therein. The Promised Messiah ﷺ stated, To be pleased with Allah the Exalted is not the task of a human being. Rather, it is the highest status of placing one's trust in God, devotion, being pleased with God, and submission to Him. After reaching this state, a person is no longer displeased with his Lord in any form. Furthermore, for Allah the Exalted to be pleased with His servant, it is dependent on the servant's utmost truthfulness and loyalty, the highest standard of purity and cleanliness, and his absolute obedience. The Promised Messiah further states, This indicates that the companions had crossed all stages of comprehending God and gaining His nearness. Elaborating on this, the Promised Messiah ﷺ states, Purify your heart so that your benevolent Master becomes pleased with you. He is advising us so that you become pleased with Him. In other words, so that you will never be displeased with Allah the Exalted in any form. Furthermore, in order to please Allah the Exalted, you must elevate your truthfulness and loyalty to the highest standard, your purity to the highest standard, your cleanliness to the highest standard, and you must also establish the highest standards of obedience. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that if you do so, your benevolent master will be pleased with you, and you will be pleased with him. The Promised Messiah says, as a result of this, he will place blessings in you, as well as in your words. Blessings are acquired once this status is achieved. Thus, the companions are an exemplary model for us if we wish to gain the nearness of Allah the Exalted. Even if their mutual disputes can be seen on occasions, Allah the Exalted has characterized them as worthy to be followed and illuminated stars. On one occasion, mentioning the status and rank of his companions, the Holy Prophet ﷺ says that you should be fearful of Allah the Exalted with regards to my companions. Do not make them a target of your taunt and reproach. Whosoever will love them will do so as a result of loving me. And whosoever will display hostility towards them will in fact do so as a result of displaying hostility towards me. Whoever will cause them grief has in fact caused me grief, and whosoever has caused me grief has in fact caused Allah grief and displeased him. Thus, it is evident that he will be punished by Allah. Then on one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ says, do not reproach my companions. There are various Muslim sects, and when they raise allegations against one another, Shias in particular, they say many things about the companions. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, do not reproach them and do not criticize any of their actions. By God, in whose hands is my life, even if you give charity of gold equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, you will not receive the same reward as them, which they received as a result of spending merely one or two portions or even half thereof. Thus, these are the people whose status and rank is very high and who are an example for us. We must follow them if we wish to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Exalted. We should never speak against any of them, nor should we think ill of them. We should not try to gauge their status according to our own standards of measurements, as this is incorrect. Further enlightening us about the status and rank of the companions, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, if one observes with an eye of justice the sacrifices the companions of our perfect guide sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in the cause of God and his prophet, they were exiled, endured cruelties, bore various forms of hardships and sacrificed their lives. However, they marched forward with truthfulness and devotion. Thus, what caused them to be so devoted? It was the passion for the true God, the rays of which had penetrated their hearts. Therefore, even if you compare this with any other prophet, you will be unable to find an example to match the teachings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, his self-purification, his ability to make his followers loathe the world, i.e. materialistic things, and to bravely shed their blood for the sake of the truth. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, this is the status of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Furthermore, their mutual love and affection has been depicted in two sentences of the Holy Quran. Wa allafa bayna qulubihim law anfaqta ma fil ardi jami'a ma allafta bayna qulubihim. In other words, this sort of affection would most certainly not have been created even if mountains of gold had been spent. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, now there is another community of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam which has to adopt the character of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Jamaat of the companions was that very community in praise of which the Holy Quran is filled. He says, are you like them? Whereas God says that the Messiah will be accompanied by such people who will be similar to the companions. The companions were those who sacrificed their wealth and their homeland in the cause of the truth and left everything behind. Perhaps you have heard the incident regarding Siddiqui Akbar, i.e. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, on numerous occasions. Once, when the people were asked to spend their wealth in the cause of God, he presented all of his possessions. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ inquired what he had left behind, he replied that I have left God and His Prophet in my home. The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, can you believe that the chief of Mecca only wore a blanket and the attire of the poor? The status of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was as the chief of Mecca. However, when he became a Muslim, he started to wear only a blanket. The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, you may consider that those people had become martyrs in the cause of God. For them it was destined that paradise lies under the swords. However, we must not endure such hardships, as the commandment of Yadar al-Harb has been revealed for us. In other words, no wars will be fought during the time of the Mahdi. Then, whilst depicting the way in which the companions lived, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, look, were the great companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam desirous of enjoyment and fond of eating and drinking, as a result of which they became victorious over the disbelievers? Did they merely desire ease which enabled them to be triumphant over the disbelievers? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is incorrect. Even in the previous scriptures it has been mentioned with regards to them that they will stay awake in prayer during the nights and fast during the days. Their nights were spent in the remembrance of God and in contemplation. Furthermore, the following verses of the Holy Quran have entirely depicted the way of living by stating, وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ and يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. That is to tie your horses at the frontier, whereby you may frighten the enemy of Allah and your enemy. O ye who believe, be steadfast, and strive to excel in steadfastness, and be on your guard. Continue to be patient, and demonstrate patience. The Promised Messiah ﷺ states, what is the meaning of ribat? The horses which are tied at the frontier of the enemy are called ribat. Allah the Exalted commands the companions to be prepared to confront the enemies. Through this word of ribat, He turns their attention towards truly being prepared. They were entrusted with two tasks. Firstly, to physically confront the enemy, and the second was to confront them spiritually. For a spiritual confrontation, there is also a command for ribat, and that one must be prepared at all times. He states, in the dictionary, ribat also means the soul and the human heart. And remarkably, it is only those horses that are tamed and well-trained which can do this. Nowadays, the teaching and training of horses are carried out in this manner, and they are tamed and taught just as children are taught with special care and attention. If they are not taught, then they cannot be tamed and will be completely useless. Instead of being of use, they will end up feared and harmful. Hence, the soul must also be trained in this way and be kept under control, and the need to teach it is also there. Thus, ribat will only take place when a believer endeavors to make progress in knowledge and in actions and by controlling his desires. How excellent were the examples of the companions who were born as a result of the holy power of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I shall present some of these examples. We find the example of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the writings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, that at the time of need he brought all the goods in his house to present it. Listen now to an incident highlighting his humility and fear of God. Once, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a disagreement with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. They argued for a long time to the point where their voices were raised out of anger. Afterwards, when it ended, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Hazrat Umar and apologized for raising his voice during the altercation and for using strong words. However, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu refused to forgive him. Thereupon, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and related the whole incident. He said that I have come to you to apologize for this. Upon which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "May Allah forgive you." A short while later, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu began feeling remorseful and embarrassed and realized his fault. He too went to the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr and asked to be pardoned. When he arrived, he did not find him at his home. He then went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, his face became red out of displeasure. Seeing the Holy Prophet displeased with Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abu Bakr fell to his knees and said, "The fault was all his, so forgive Hazrat Umar." This was his humility and fear of God. Hazrat Umar was also embarrassed and went to him begging pardon. Both parties felt embarrassed from both sides. This was that pure society which the Holy Prophet ﷺ established, and those who lived in it became the recipients of God Almighty's pleasure. There is an incident regarding the humility of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when a man said to him that you are better than Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Umar began weeping and said, "By God, just one night and day of Hazrat Abu Bakr is better than the whole lives of Umar and his offsprings." He said, "Shall I tell you of the state of that night and day?" The questioner affirmed. He said, "His night was that when the Holy Prophet ﷺ had to migrate in the night, and Hazrat Abu Bakr accompanied him. His day was that when the Holy Prophet ﷺ passed away, and the Arabs denied praying and giving the zakat. At that time, against my advice, he resolved to do jihad, and God Almighty made him successful in this and proved him to be right." Then there is another great companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, who was also the third caliph. His life was full of many great qualities, including his compassion and kind treatment. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha relates that Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was the most kind and compassionate than anyone else, and also feared God Almighty the most. When the issue of expanding the Masjid Nabawi, i.e. the Holy Prophet's mosque, came about, and at that time there were many who were willing to offer sacrifices for their faith, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that all of the neighboring houses should be included for the expansion of the mosque. Therefore, it was evident that these houses had to be bought from the owners. At this point, it was Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu who stepped forward immediately and offered to buy the houses and gave 15,000 dirhams and purchased the area. The Muslims once faced great shortage of water supply. There was a well which belonged to a Jew, and it was difficult to access water from there. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu purchased the well at whatever price the Jew set and arranged the water supply for the Muslims. This was his great compassion for his fellow people. Then there is Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Amir Muawiyah once told someone to describe the attributes of Hazrat Ali. He said, "Will you listen to what I have to say about him?" He replied, "Yes." And it is clear that we know that people are opposed to him. He said, "If you must listen, then hear that he possessed great courage and was very strong. He spoke decisively and decided matters with justice. A fountain of knowledge and wisdom flowed from him. He dreaded the splendor of the world and loved seclusion at night." i.e. his favorite act at night was worship rather than being indulged in worldliness. The narrator continued, "He would weep often and ponder over things for a long time. He would live a very simple life like us. By God, despite our love and affection for him, we would refrain from saying anything to him or say anything openly due to his awe." He respected religious people and would give shelter to the poor. He would never give hope to the powerful if they were pursuing a false claim. If one was powerful and had a false claim or greed, and would wish to gain benefit from him out of greed, he would not give him the occasion to do so. He would seize him, and the weak would not lose hope with his justice. These were the qualities of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Upon hearing this, Amir Muawiyah said that you speak the truth, and began weeping. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was a companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He held a high status in terms of financial sacrifices. He was a very wealthy trader and had riches in abundance. Once, when someone was circling the Kaaba, he heard the voice of someone praying, "O Allah, save me from the covetousness of my soul." When he came to see who it was, he saw Abdurrahman bin Auf. On one occasion, his caravan arrived at Medina, which had 700 camels loaded with wheat, flour, and other products. This enormous caravan became the talk of the town of Medina, that such a big caravan has come. This news reached Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said that, "I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Abdurrahman is heaven-bound." When Hazrat Abdurrahman came to know of this, he came to Hazrat Aisha saying that, "I call you to witness that I dedicate this whole caravan of 700 camels fully loaded with goods, including the camels, in the way of Allah." One can appreciate the high status of Hazrat Abdurrahman from the incident when once he had an altercation with Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Khalid, do not say anything to my companion. Even if one of you gave a mountain full of gold the size of Uhud, you would still not reach the morning and evening of Abdurrahman bin Auf, which he had spent doing jihad in the way of Allah." Another companion was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. The incident of declaring his faith after accepting Islam is so, as he states himself, that when I accepted Islam, my mother asked me, "What religion have you now adopted? You must forsake this religion in any case. Otherwise, I will not eat or drink anything and will go on a hunger strike until I die. As a result, the people will say that you have killed your own mother and reproach you for killing your mother. He says, I told her not to do this because I can never leave my religion. But she did not listen, and for 3 days and nights she did not eat or drink anything. She became weak from starvation. I then went to her and told her, By God, even if you had 1,000 lives, and one by one they all left you, I would still not leave my religion. When she saw this resolve of her son, she started once again eating and drinking. God Almighty states that we should obey our parents and serve them, but when it comes to the matters of faith and of God, then one must first listen to the word of God. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas also had the opportunity to serve and guard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha relates that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to Medina, there were days when the circumstances were difficult. Because of this, he could not sleep well at night. Many nights went by like this. One night he said, How good would it be if one of God's servants would come and keep watch at night? The danger would not be there, and I would be able to sleep at night with ease or rest for a while, for the little time which he would rest. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that while he was saying this, all of a sudden we could hear the sound of weapons. Then when the Holy Prophet ﷺ asked, Who is it? The reply came, I am Sa'd. He then asked the reason for his coming. He said that I felt that there was a threat to your safety, so that is why I have come to keep watch. Thus, the Holy Prophet ﷺ slept comfortably and prayed for him. Hazrat Zubair bin Al-Awwam, who was one of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, was absorbed in the fear of Allah. He was always fearful to do something that Allah the Almighty would hold him accountable for later on. On one occasion, his son inquired, Why do you not narrate multiple sayings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ as the other companions? He responded, I have been with the Holy Prophet ﷺ ever since I accepted Islam, and have never separated from him. That is, he had accompanied the Holy Prophet ﷺ and had heard many things from him, and had many references of various narrations. But I fear this warning of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, in which he stated, Anyone who attributes something inaccurate to me should prepare their abode in hell. So he was ever anxious and fearful lest he should say something which he may have misunderstood and found it to be incorrect. He was also very courageous and brave. When the siege of Alexandria was prolonged, he tried to climb the wall of the fortress using a ladder. His companions warned him about the severe spread of the plague inside the fort. He responded, It does not matter. We are here to combat the spear as well as the plague. And he climbed the fortress wall without paying any heed to the warnings of his compatriots. He was very wealthy and would give away a majority of his earnings in charity for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Then there is an account of a companion named Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, who was also very rich and would spend in the way of Allah the Almighty. On one occasion, he sold a portion of his possessions to Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu for 700,000 dirhams and spent the entire amount in the way of Allah. Hospitality was also a special virtue of his. On one occasion, three needy people from a tribe accepted Islam and came to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. The Holy Prophet ﷺ asked who amongst the companions will take the responsibility of supporting them. Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu cheerfully agreed to this and took all three of them to his home and arranged for their stay. He continued to host them until he made them members of his household. It is narrated, he took care of them until death did them apart. Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu also fulfilled the rights of friendship and brotherhood to the utmost degree. After receiving word from Allah the Almighty, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced forgiveness of Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik Ansari, who was excommunicated for not participating in the Battle of Tabuk, Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu ran up to Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu and welcomed him in a frenzy and immense joy when he entered the gathering of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He shook his hand and congratulated him. Hazrat Ka'b would always mention that no one else welcomed him in such a passionate manner as Hazrat Talha. One of his attributes that relates to marital relations was shared by one of his wives. She says, Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu would return home joyously with a smile on his face. He was a very busy person, but he would not return home with such expressions on his face that would scare away his family members. He would return home in a pleasant and delightful mood, and would go out in the same manner. He would always treat his family members in a polite manner, and was always happy. It never occurred that his mood would change when he was at home or when he was outside. She states, when I asked for anything, he never showed miserliness and would always give readily. He would also give when I did not ask for anything and would not wait for me to make a demand for something. That is, he would take care of all her needs instead of waiting until she made a request for something. He would try to figure out ways to fulfill the needs of everyone in the household. He had four wives and all of them were pleased with him. She states, he was very appreciative when we did anything good, and when we made a mistake, he was forgiving. Thus, these are the principles that lead to matrimonial harmony and strengthen the conjugal relations. Hence, this is a model for us to follow. An incident regarding the obedience to Khilafat of a companion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud, has been narrated as follows. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him to the people of Kufa in order to teach and morally train them. He also wrote to the people of Kufa, stating that he actually needed him in Medina, but for their sake he would make a sacrifice and would send him in order for their moral training. Such was his status. Similarly, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu also honored his high status, and in fact appointed him as the Emir of Kufa. He was also appointed to the duty of arbitration and overseeing the treasury. Since the people of Kufa would create mischief, and this subsequently led to many issues, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu relieved him of his duty as the Emir and called him back to Medina. However, the people of Kufa pleaded with him that he should not go back and stay with them. They also assured him that they would take the responsibility of ensuring that no one caused him any harm. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud replied that obedience to the Khalifa of the time was obligatory upon him, and that he could never allow himself to disobey him and open the door of any kind of evil, and hence return to Medina. In regards to Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the narrators stated that he had sat in many gatherings of the companions. But Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was unrivaled in respect to his detachment from the world and deep attachment with the hereafter. Even in his general appearance, he was very elegant. Despite his detachment from materialistic things, a servant who worked for him once said that his clothes would be made from a beautiful white cloth and would wear a perfume of excellent quality. Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu says regarding Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud that his perfume had such beautiful fragrance that even in the darkest hour of the night, due to his fragrance, one could tell that Abdullah bin Mas'ud was coming. Thus, he made use of worldly objects, but at the same time, he was not deeply attached to it either. Then, there is Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, who endured every kind of difficulty, but he always proclaimed the oneness of God. He would be dragged across hard stones and hot sand, but despite this, he remained firm on his faith and would always repeat the words, Ahad, Ahad, i.e. the one God, and that there was none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Then, Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az, who was an Ansar, those who originally lived in Medina, while representing the Ansar on the day of the Battle of Badr, fulfilled the expectations of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had from the Ansar by declaring to the Holy Prophet that, O Prophet of Allah, we have believed in you and affirmed your truthfulness and bear testimony that the teaching you have brought us is the truth. We have pledged to you on the basis of this that we shall hearken to your words and obey it immediately. Thus, O Prophet of God, do as you will, and inshallah you will find us at your side. Even if you command us to jump into the sea, we shall jump, and not a single one of us shall remain behind. We do not shy away from facing the enemy, and we know very well how to face the enemy with great courage and valor. We firmly believe that God Almighty will demonstrate all that through us, which shall be a source of delight for your eyes. Therefore, take us wherever you wish. Thus, it was these people who fulfilled their covenants and established their examples, and God Almighty was pleased with them. These are just a few examples of the companions, but history is replete with such incidents. These are people who are worthy for us to follow. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, success is completely impossible if one lets go of the Holy Quran. To attain success in this way is a mere fantasy, which these people are currently in pursuit of. Place the example of the companions before you, when they obeyed the Prophet of God sallallahu alayhi wasallam and gave preference to their faith over all worldly things. Then God Almighty fulfilled all that which He had promised them. In the early period, the opponents would mock them, that they can't even freely walk outside, and yet they claim to become kings. However, by immersing themselves in the obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they achieved all that which they did not have for centuries. They loved the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and would spend day and night in the obedience of the Holy Prophet. They completely abandoned the traditions and practices of the kuffar, i.e. the non-believers. I.e. they completely abandoned all the practices of the kuffar when they accepted the faith and completely followed the teachings of Islam. As long as Islam remained in this state, they continued to attain success and ascendancy. On one occasion, relating the excellences of the companions, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were loyal to his every command to such an extent, the likes of which have not been witnessed amongst the companions of other prophets. The level of obedience for the commandments of God Almighty is praised throughout the Quran. It has been mentioned that when the prohibition for alcohol was announced, all the containers of alcohol were poured out, and it has been narrated that alcohol filled the open drains of the streets. After this, such a heinous act was not witnessed from any of them. Thus, once they repented from alcohol, they never drank it, and instead became its sworn enemy. Observe their level of patience and unceasing obedience. The manner of obedience, loyalty, love, and passion they displayed for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to a level not attainable by anyone. If one reads the conditions of the followers of Moses alayhi salam, it is evident that at one point they wished to stone Moses to death. Similarly, the disciples of Jesus were so irresolute and lacking in their belief that even Christians were forced to accept that Jesus alayhi salam had declared them to be weak in their faith. They were guilty of treachery against their teacher and also showed such disloyalty that they abandoned him in the time of difficulty. One of them had him arrested and the other rejected him by cursing him. However, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such strong will that God Almighty has given testimony to the fact that they did not hesitate to even sacrifice their lives, and every attribute of faith was visible in them. Abid, i.e. the one who worships, generosity, loyalty, and courage, which are the conditions of faith, the likes of which are not found in any other nation. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, "The example of the intensity of the trials and hardships endured by the companions is not found in any other nation in history. These courageous people endured all hardships, but never abandoned Islam. When the persecution reached their limit, they were eventually forced to leave their homes and migrated with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the mischief of the disbelievers exceeded all bounds, they sealed their fate, and God Almighty appointed these very companions to punish the rebellious ones. Thus, a people who would previously spend their nights in worship in mosques, who were few in number and ill-equipped, were forced to step into the battlefield to stop the onslaught of the opponents. These were known as defensive Islamic wars." Then in another place, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has written briefly, "If one studies the era of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, one would discover that they were simple people. Just as a vessel becomes clean after polishing, their hearts were the same in that they were filled with divine light and free from the filth of carnal passions. In essence, they were the true embodiment of the statement, 'Qad aflaha man zakkaha,' i.e. he indeed truly prospers who purifies it." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "If one becomes pure in this manner and illuminates themselves like a polished vessel, then it will be instilled in him to derive benefit from the blessings bestowed by God Almighty. However, how many people exist that are the embodiment of the verse, 'Qad aflaha man zakkaha,' i.e. he indeed truly prospers who purifies it. Thus, we should endeavor to reform ourselves and keep our spiritual vessels clean. Since we have accepted the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, the Imam of the age and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we must strive to act on all the teachings mentioned by the Promised Messiah. The first example was set for us by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that by his companions. Only by following these examples can we become true Muslims. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so."
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ